read from Acts 2:42-47. This is a portion of scripture which comes just after the Holy Spirit's been given to the people, and everybody heard in their own tongues. There was no problem about different languages on that occasion. Everybody heard in their own language, and Peter addressed the crowd, and he tells them that glorious things are to come. Hallelujah. Glorious things are to come. And what we're going to hear is the reports about the effect that particular day had on the believers. And we are part of that believing community. So Tom, come and read for us from Acts 2:42-47. There is a mic if you want to use it.
The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God bless the reading of his word.
Embark on a series which I plan to use on the occasions. Is that a new dance? If you've got a young people who would like to disappear and do your own thing, can I come with you, please? Have a good time. Yeah, today I want to embark on a series which I've called The Purpose of the Church. And on the occasions when I'm with you, I'll take a different aspect of that. As I was thinking about this, the whole project, you know, it struck me that the church can be a very conservative place, and any disturbance of the status quo can be seen as radical. It can be seen as uncomfortable, and a feeling, well, what's been suggested is not what I'm used to. But as I prayed about that, I was reminded that being radical is at the very heart of what we are as Christians. Jesus came and was radical, unbelievably radical for his time. So being radical is not something we should be worried unduly about. And particularly as nonconformists, which we are as Baptists, which has always been at the forefront of change and radical change. And of course in Bedfordshire, where we are, we're at the heart of John Bunyan country. So I feel it's a particularly good place to get back to the roots of our faith, to remind ourselves of the roots of our faith. What's our faith all about? What is church all about? Where have we deviated? Where do we need to come back to? What do we need to add to it? What's relevant for today? All those questions which can all raise all sorts of emotions. But we shouldn't shy away from that. We can think that the church is just the building, but of course, as we know, the church is not the building, the church are the people. You would still be a church even if you didn't have a building, if you met together. It's my prayer that this series, which I'm starting today, would be part of God's plan for Sandy Baptist Church and its future, as Phil alluded earlier, as you seek and consider a new ministry for this church. As I prepared this series, I found myself reading Romans 12:2, and this is what it says. It says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then you will know what God wants you to do." Wow. There's some real gems in the Bible, isn't there, you know? Let God transform you, and in that transformed state, then you're in a better position to hear what God has got for you. There's not much confusion there, is there? It's direct. It tells you exactly where you're at. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. But let me say that being changed is not to rubbish what's gone before. It's not to rubbish that what's gone before. What has gone before is the necessary foundation for change. What's gone before is a viewpoint from which one can and should confidently ask, "What next, Lord? What next, Lord?" God is always asking us to change. Change into what? More of his likeness. More of his likeness. So we can confidently come before him and ask, "Lord, what's next?" I found myself asking some questions as well as I was preparing. What drives any church? What drives Sandy Baptist Church? Are we tradition driven? Are we personality driven? Are we financially driven? Are we program driven? Must do, must do, must do. Or are we apathy driven? Are we event driven? Are we seeker driven? We can be driven by all sorts of things. And of course, it is important that we have a purpose. But the starting point for every church should be, I suggest, should be the question, why do we exist? Why does Sandy Baptist Church exist? You see, until we know what our church exists for, we have no foundations, we have no motivation, and we have no direction for ministry. And that's why we've spent, in the time I've been with you, spent a lot of time, and you continue to do this, to look at vision and mission. And I know you're continuing to do that. The church needs to define its purpose, and this must start from God's word. We can look at what Jesus said in the examples of the New Testament. And I believe there are four basic questions that we must answer as a church when we ask ourselves, what is our purpose? What do we exist? Why do we exist? Question one. What are we to be as a church? Who and what are we? What are we to do as a church? What does God want us to do in the world? Excuse me. And of course, how are we to do it? And the way that we answer these questions will give us a context from which to function as a church. If we do not answer these questions, well, the church that just stumbles along, stumbles around with no true purpose for what we do. I came across a quote from Thomas Carlyle, a philosopher and historian. He said, "The person without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no person." Wow. And the same can be said of a church. I'm sure you're like me. You want all churches to be significant, and you want them to be important in the building of the kingdom, and you want that to be at the center of what Sandy Baptist Church does now and in its future. I'm sure that's your heart. Tom read for us from Acts 2:42-47. And that's the main text that I will use for the next five messages that, God willing, that I have with you. Because I use it because I believe we can find the essential purpose of the church contained in those few verses. This morning, I want us to look at a purpose of the church is worship. Whilst I can't do all the aspects at one go, but because I do worship first, it doesn't mean that's the most important one. They're all important, but you've got to start somewhere. But we will look at worship this morning. On other occasions, we look at discipleship, we look at fellowship, we look at service, we look at evangelism, and we look at prayer. When Tom read for us early, part of what he said was they were continuously devoting themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer, always praising God. So this passage gives some elements of worship, some of the things that they did. Praising God, worshiping God. I wonder when we hear the word worship, what is it we think? What is it? What images does it suggest? Singing? Prayer? Giving? Works? You know, I suspect, and I think I've at times in my Christian life fallen for some of the false views about worship, what worship really is. We think it is coming to church or singing songs and maybe sacrificing something. Well, all these things may be part of worship, but those actions miss the essence of what worship really is. The essence of what worship really is Mark 12:28-30. This is what's recorded there in Mark 12. There's a preacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer, so he came to them with a question. What commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, "The most important one is this. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." See, that the writer of that passage catches the essence of what it means to worship. We can do all the right things, but if we don't do this first, then what we are doing is not really worship. Sunday morning is a time that people who love the Lord Jesus come together and to express that love as a group. Should I know that God's before me? Scripture says, true worship happens when we put God first in our lives. See, we can come and we can sing our songs. We can come and make our offerings. But is God really first in our lives? Because if he isn't, what we're doing is just going through the motions. It's not worship. God has to come first. And then what we offer him after that is true worship. You know, as a minister in churches and leaders generally, From time to time, you'll get people who will complain to you about the content of a service. I hope I'm posing some questions, because as I say, the first person to hear a sermon is the minister, is the person who prepares the service. And sometimes I feel very guilty about preaching, because I know that I don't live up to the standards that I actually preach. But it's the aspiration of my heart too, and that's the important thing. Things that we do in worship service are intended to magnify the Lord our God. The music, communion, prayer, preaching. Jesus told us that when we partake, we are to remember him. The actions that come from one who has not surrendered their lives to Jesus. Nice as it might be, singing our songs. Nice as it might ease our conscience to give gifts. Nice as it might ease our consciences to work for him. If our lives not surrendered, then what we do for the Lord Jesus is not worship. And we do want to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to try to tail this off now by asking what is really not a question at all, but it is a question. What are the benefits of worship? What are some of the benefits of worship? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I'm not sure that's a question we should be asking ourselves as Christians. However, God does want to bless us in all sorts of ways. And he wants to bless us through our worship as well. Psalm 22:3 says, God lives in the praises of his people. Where there is no praise, there is no God. So one benefit is that the church grows stronger through worship. The church grows stronger through worship. The focus is on God and not ourselves. We are looking to further God's agenda and not our own personal one. The church will grow stronger through our worship. The worship also gives us a power to live on. Worship lets us relive memories of the past. Not only our own personal past, but the collective past of all the saints who have gone before us. But it's more than just sentiment and nostalgia. Worship also looks to the future to inspire us to be better human beings. And to be better believers and to live better lives. Worship should lift us up, challenge us, and direct us. When it does, we will experience personal growth. A famous politician and a wise man, Calvin Coolidge, said, it's only when people begin to worship that they begin to grow. Wow. It's only when people begin to worship that they begin to grow. We will experience fulfillment. Worship is the highest and noblest act that any person can do. When people worship, God is satisfied. It's a bit of an anomaly, isn't it? Because God actually doesn't need our worship. But he wants it nevertheless because it tells him that we are growing into his likeness. When people worship, God is satisfied. And when we worship, we should be fulfilled. I love a phrase that I heard a long time ago. I can't remember who said it, but it said that Jesus came to make worshippers out of rebels. Isn't that a lovely phrase? You see, we're all rebels. We all were rebels. And that rebellious nature may surface from time to time still. But Jesus came to make worshippers out of rebels. We who were once self-centered must be completely changed so that we can shift our attention outside of ourselves and become able to worship Him. I'm going to leave it there for this morning. Leaving you with lots of questions. What is the nature of my worship? Does it come from a surrendered soul? What do I need to put right? Do I need to surrender more of myself? Just give a few moments of quiet while some of that resonates with you. Today is an opportunity to move forward, as indeed every day is.